Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we explore Factfulness by Hans Rosling, with further contributions from Ola Rosling and Anna Rosling Rønlund. This enlightening 2018 publication challenges common misconceptions and reveals a world that, statistically, has seen remarkable improvements over recent decades. Factfulness equips readers with a new perspective, emphasizing how the world is better now than in the past, and encourages a more fact-based worldview. The late Hans Rosling, revered for his ability to transform dry data into captivating insights, was not only a medical doctor and a professor of public health, but also an influential public educator, recognized by Time magazine as one of the world's most influential people. His TED Talks have reached a global audience, making complex data accessible and engaging. Joining him in his mission, his son Ola and daughter-in-law Anna continue his legacy through the Gapminder Foundation, focusing on innovative graphic design and technology to demystify complex statistics. This book is a must-listen for anyone concerned about the global state, including activists, environmentalists, and public health workers. It encourages a shift from an instinctively negative outlook to a more balanced, optimistic view of progress and potential. Tune into this episode of 20 Minute Books and recalibrate your understanding of the world with the insights from Factfulness. Factfulness: 10 Reasons We're Wrong About the World and Why Things Are Better Than You Think. Introduction. Rethink your worldview to embrace the remarkable human progress. In an ideal scenario, news would always be reported with total accuracy, providing all necessary context to truly inform the audience. However, the reality of journalism is less pristine. Journalists aim to capture attention, and dramatic, oversimplified narratives often do just that. This can tilt our understanding of the world, painting a picture more dire than the reality. Our common yet flawed viewpoint suggests global conditions are deteriorating, with widespread poverty and oppression dominating the landscape. However, the opposite is true. Global poverty has significantly declined, life expectancy has increased, and oppressive systems are being dismantled across the world. Significantly, the global economy has been a major force in alleviating poverty, elevating a vast majority into middle and high income brackets. In fact, an astonishing 91% of the population now lives in such conditions, compared to a mere 15% 2 centuries ago. This narrative encourages us to shift our focus and recognize global advancements. It dismantles the outdated dichotomy of East versus West, challenges common misconceptions about corporate leaders in the pharmaceutical industry, and highlights the decreased lethality of natural disasters in recent times. Through this new lens, we're invited to see the world more positively and accurately, appreciating progress and understanding the broader context of current events. Part 1: Busting the Mega Misconceptions That Skew Our Global View. Think about this. How has extreme poverty around the world changed over the last 20 years? Has it nearly doubled, remained steady, or almost halved? Surprisingly, for those who correctly identify that it has nearly halved, they find themselves in a stark minority. In the United States, a mere 5% of respondents know this uplifting truth. And in the United Kingdom, only 9%. Why do so many people, including highly educated experts, miss the mark on such questions? It boils down to prevalent mega misconceptions, deeply ingrained misunderstandings that drastically distort our perception of global realities. One significant misconception is the notion of an intrinsic divide between East and West, often framed as an us versus them mindset. This outdated perspective categorizes entire regions as either developed or developing, ignoring the dynamic nature of global progress. During his lectures, author Hans Rosling encountered many students who still perceived the East as overrun by uncontrolled birth rates and bound by cultural and religious shackles that prevent modernization. One student even remarked that they can never live like us, illustrating the deep-seated bias and misunderstanding that persists. But what defines they, East, or developing world? Are countries like Japan and urban centers like Mexico City still considered part of the East? Can emerging economies like China and India not foster modern cities? Reflecting on the progress since 1965 through the lens of child mortality, an effective measure of a nation's health, education, and economic systems, provides enlightening clarity. Back then, 125 countries suffered from a child mortality rate above 5%, categorizing them as developing. Now, only 13 countries fall into this category. Such statistics underscore a critical point. The old narrative of the West and the rest no longer holds water, illustrating the necessity to rethink our global perspectives and embrace a more accurate, unifying view of progress and development. Part 2. Unveiling the truth behind our negativity instinct and its effects. Consider this question. In low-income countries, how many girls complete their public education? Is it 20%, 40%, or 60%? If you're leaning towards the more optimistic answer, you're on the right track. The truth is that 60% of girls in low-income nations finish public school. Moreover, on average, women aged 30 have spent 9 years in school, which is just 1 year less than their male counterparts. These statistics aren't just numbers. They represent significant progress, a reality of which many are unaware due to another pervasive mega misconception driven by our negativity instinct, the belief that the world is deteriorating. In reality, across nearly every measurable parameter, from enhanced life expectancies to decreased poverty levels, conditions are improving globally. Despite this, our human tendency to focus on negative aspects overshadows these positive developments. For context, let's glance back to 1800, when 85% of the global population lived in extreme poverty. Fast forward to today, and that figure has plummeted to just 9%. This remarkable change, however, seldom makes headlines. Instead, news outlets are more inclined to cover disasters and crimes, painting a grim picture of our world. This skewed representation is exacerbated by the digital age, where an overload of global news is accessible instantaneously, exposing us to a barrage of unfortunate events. This constant flow of negative news can distort our perception, making it seem as though things have drastically worsened over the past 2 decades. It's essential to balance our view by remembering the unreported side of news. For every disaster-related death reported, there are countless survivals thanks to better preparedness and improved building materials, especially in low-income areas. Today, the mortality rate from natural disasters is only a quarter of what it was a century ago, showcasing the advancements in safety and infrastructure. This shift in perspective is vital. Recognizing the positive progress made can help recalibrate our worldview, encouraging a more fact-based and optimistic outlook on global progress. Part 3. How our instincts distort our view of population growth and perceived threats. Imagine observing a chart where a line trends sharply upward. It's instinctive to assume that this trajectory will continue indefinitely. But reality often differs. Just like the growth spurts of our childhood eventually plateau, many phenomena we observe follow a similar pattern, not the endlessly upward trajectory we might anticipate. This brings us to a major misconception about global population: the fear that it will continue to surge endlessly. Contrary to this belief, experts, including those at the United Nations responsible for analyzing demographic trends, predict that global population growth will stabilize between 2060 and 2100, leveling off at about 11 billion. This anticipated plateau is largely attributed to declines in poverty. Historically, in poorer conditions, families tended to have more children, partially due to higher child mortality rates and the need for labor within agricultural or industrial family-run operations. However, with advancements in education, access to birth control, and reduced poverty, the average number of children per family has dropped to about 2.5. Despite this data, Many continue to worry about overpopulation due to what can be termed as our fear and size instincts. From an evolutionary standpoint, the fear instinct helped our ancestors survive immediate, life-threatening dangers. Today, absent of saber-toothed tigers, this instinct often misfires, leading us to fear unlikely threats. Moreover, our size instinct amplifies this fear, making these perceived dangers seem larger and more prevalent than they are. This is particularly evident in our perceptions of violence. Despite the pervasive news coverage of violent events giving the impression that violence is increasing, the statistics tell a different story. For example, in the United States, crime reports decreased from 14.5 million in 1990 to 9.5 million in 2016, pointing to a significant drop in actual violence. This discrepancy highlights how critical it is to challenge our instinctual fears and reconsider our perceptions in light of factual data. By doing so, we can form a more accurate understanding of the world around us and address real issues with clear-headed solutions. Part 4. Challenging generalizations to grasp the true scope of global progress. Understanding reality often requires us to confront and challenge our assumptions with hard data and contextual awareness. For instance, hearing that 4 million babies died last year might initially paint a bleak picture of our current era. Yet, comparing this figure to the 14.4 million infant deaths in 1950 reveals a significant and positive shift. Indeed, while the ideal goal would be a world where no children die, recognizing the reduction of infant mortality by 10 million annually in less than 70 years is crucial. This perspective underscores tremendous progress rather than anchoring our thoughts to despair. Beyond appreciating these broad strokes of improvement, it's vital to resist the pull of overgeneralization, a common cognitive shortcut that often leads to misconceptions. For instance, while it's true and fairly harmless to note that Japanese cuisine differs significantly from British, sweeping generalizations about race and gender frequently obstruct a clear and accurate view of the world. Consider another revealing statistic. How many one-year-old children globally have been vaccinated against some disease? The answer, surprisingly to some, is 80%. This fact not only surpasses expectations set by historical precedents, but also shatters the bleak generalization that certain regions, perhaps in Africa or the Middle East, are doomed to perpetual poverty and incapable of managing health infrastructure. Categorizing nations on the simplistic basis of tribe, religion, or culture becomes less useful compared to an income-based view. This perspective resonates more accurately because, irrespective of cultural or religious backgrounds, nations that rise above the lowest income tiers typically experience substantial improvements in education, healthcare, and infrastructure. In adjusting how we perceive and categorize global progress, we allow ourselves to see more clearly the strides humanity has made and continues to make across various sectors, dispelling myths and focusing on actionable realities. Part 5. Embracing diverse perspectives for a clearer view of the world. One effective antidote to overgeneralization is exposure to a variety of cultures and lifestyles. Traveling and immersing oneself in different societies not only broadens one's horizons, but also enhances understanding from multiple angles, vital for forming a comprehensive worldview. Consider Afghanistan, a country still striving to move beyond extreme poverty. Here, amidst challenging circumstances, young individuals are fervently preparing for modern life, revealing resilience and progress not often highlighted. Reflecting on the past, a visit to South Korea in the 1970s would have exposed a nation in the throes of transformation. At that time, under a military dictatorship, South Korea was transitioning from a low to a middle-income status, challenging the presumption that economic prosperity is solely the result of democratic governance. In 2016, this notion was further dispelled as 9 out of the 10 fastest-growing economies were observed in countries with limited democratic practices. Acknowledging the complexity of global dynamics is crucial, which is why multiple perspectives are indispensable. This multifaceted approach also demonstrates the short-sightedness of attributing problems to single individuals or specific groups. For instance, pharmaceutical companies often overlook diseases such as malaria or sleeping sickness, which predominantly affect impoverished populations. The immediate reaction might be to condemn the CEO. However, considering that the CEO's actions are influenced by the board, which in turn is guided by shareholder interests, illustrates the layered decisions in corporate structures. Similarly, in the context of the European refugee crisis, quick to blame are the traffickers of the fragile boats that fail mid-journey. Yet, upon deeper examination, one discovers underlying issues rooted in European laws. These laws compel transportation staff to verify refugees' statuses without visas, an extremely rare occurrence, and enable the confiscation of vessels used in trafficking, disincentivizing the use of reliable, seaworthy boats. Through these examples, it becomes evident that simplistic blame is not only ineffective, but also obstructive to understanding and solving complex global issues. By fostering a disposition to view the world through various lenses and resisting the impulse to find single points of failure, we can appreciate a richer, more accurate portrayal of global situations and challenges. Part 6. Emphasizing fact-based approaches in decision-making and communication. One of the most problematic instincts we encounter is the urgency instinct, which propels us toward hasty decisions that often turn out to be ill-advised or downright erroneous. In dealing with complex issues, such as neglected diseases in pharmaceutical research or the desperate journeys of refugees in unreliable vessels, it's crucial to recognize the intricacies involved. These aren't issues with straightforward, simple solutions. They necessitate a thorough analysis of all potential consequences. The importance of basing decisions on a well-rounded view anchored in reality cannot be overstated. Sometimes, well-meaning individuals resort to exaggerations, believing that this will mobilize action. Take, for example, the issue of climate change. While it's a significant problem, exaggerating the worst-case scenarios while omitting more probable or less severe outcomes can backfire. This approach risks alienating the public and diminishing the credibility of activists and scientists committed to addressing these environmental challenges. The dedication to factual accuracy must permeate every aspect of our lives, including education, business, and journalism. Educators must ensure their teachings reflect the most current data available, dismissing outdated models like the West and the rest. Continuing to use obsolete information only perpetuates outdated worldviews and misconceptions. In the business sphere, particularly for investors, an accurate understanding of global dynamics can reveal lucrative opportunities. Africa, for instance, is emerging as a vibrant market with enormous potential. Engaging with this market now not only fosters growth in the region, but also positions investors to benefit from early involvement in an expanding economy. Journalists, too, bear the responsibility of overcoming personal biases and striving for impartiality in their reporting. Just as with any other individual, journalists can fall prey to common misconceptions and the influence of their own instincts. As consumers of news, it's essential to seek diverse sources to build a comprehensive understanding of world events. In summary, whether making policy decisions, educating the next generation, investing in future markets, or reporting on current events, sticking close to the facts and considering multiple perspectives is fundamental. This approach helps avoid the pitfalls of rash decisions and ensures a more effective and informed response to the challenges we face. Final summary. In today's world, where quick judgments and sensational news are rampant, holding on to a fact-based, balanced view of reality, or factfulness, is more challenging yet more vital than ever. Common misconceptions, paired with instincts that often distort our perception, can lead us to believe that global conditions are deteriorating. However, an objective look at data reveals a different story. Contrary to the pervasive doom and gloom, significant strides have been made across various dimensions of human life. From dramatic reductions in global poverty and improvements in healthcare access to enhanced longevity and educational opportunities, the quality of life has improved remarkably over the past centuries and decades. To truly appreciate these advancements, it's essential to venture beyond narrow information channels. Accessing a breadth of sources and contextualizing data allows for a more accurate and holistic understanding of the world. By adopting a factfulness approach, we not only counteract negative biases, but also engage with global developments in a more informed, positive manner. This perspective is not just about feeling good, it's about recognizing real progress and fostering continued growth based on a clear-eyed view of the facts. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.